So glad you are here today. We do have a couple of groups who are out and about traveling the world this morning. We have a group who will be on mission to Louisiana, and that's where Pastor Michael is. He's leading a DR trip, and they're heading to Lake Charles today. So they're going to be working there this week, so remember them as you pray. Also, remember our ladies group. We have a group of ladies who went to a Women of Joy conference in Branson, and they will be traveling back today. That's where Nancy Ruth is and some of our other ladies in our church. Just in case, as one of my friends said this morning, I think our numbers are low because they knew you were preaching. I'm not going to name any names. He's sitting over there in an OSU mask. Anyway, I want to let you know we do have a couple of groups out, so pray for them as they are traveling this week. I know that they would appreciate that. A few weekends ago, I got the opportunity to run in a race with some of my friends, and I thought that I would tell you about that this morning, but first I wanted to show you a video of what the race looked like so that you could see exactly what it was that we did. So I think we have that video. Oh, first the picture. I'll show you who ran in the race. That's Matthew Hinterreiter, Jeff McKinnon, Justin Trinary, Audra McKinnon, and then me. And that's actually how tall we are. So that's who's in that. Just to give you a little bit of a background of that, you've got Justin Trinary, who's an Army Ranger. So this was like playground equipment to him. But he was able to do all this stuff no problem. The rest of us had a little bit of a struggle. But here's a video of what this race looked like, if that's up there right now. So this race is called a Conquer the Gauntlet race. It's a 25-mile race. A 4-mile race with 25 obstacles within those 4 miles. I don't think I could do a 25-mile race. But it's a 4-mile race with 25 obstacles. You could run it with your team. You could do it individually, too. The only issue is there are some of those obstacles that you couldn't do unless you are working with people. Like, there's a lot of the stuff that you could do on your own. There's some of those, but there's also the stuff that there's just no way you could overcome those obstacles if you were trying it on your own. And so we were able to do a significant portion of the obstacles. And we all had our own individual things that we were good at, and we were able to help the team out. There are a couple of these obstacles where a couple of the guys used me as like a step stool, which that worked really well, all right, because, you know, I can sit there and people can climb on me all day. It was great. I'm used to that in my house. And so so we were able to do that, and then there were a couple of the things where, like Matthew Hinterreiter and Jeff McKinnon were able to just kind of grab me and just like yeet me like right over a wall, just like throw me right over a wall, and so that was really good, and then I was able to reach down and help them get up too. So we worked together to overcome those obstacles, and we were able to finish that race together. And so we took into account all the things we were good at, all the different things that we were able to do, and we were able to rely on each other and finish together. This morning, we're going to be reading in Romans chapter 14. If you'd like to go ahead and turn there, that's where we're going to be at today. I'll give you a little bit of background on this book and this chapter. Romans was written by Paul, probably around 57 AD. It was one of, if not his very last letter that he wrote. Certainly one of his biggest letters. It contains what's thought of as his most complete theology, as far as what Paul believed about everything was in the book of Romans, which again kind of makes sense if you think that this is one of his last letters. He's going to write, well, I'm going to write and tell all of these people every single thing I know. And that's kind of the book of Romans. And if you remember the Romans road to salvation, all the different things that we talk about, a lot of that all comes from Romans, what many of us learned as an evangelistic tool, talking about sin and the payment for sin being death, and the way to become a Christian is by relying on the death of Jesus and putting your faith in him. The Romans road all comes from Romans, where Paul cites everything from creation through Jesus' perfect life, his sacrifice, and his resurrection, and then eternity. And so all of that is in Romans. Now let's talk for just a minute about the church in Rome. The church in Rome was made up of two different groups of people. It was made up of Jewish and Gentile believers. And if you hear the word Gentile, it's really a fancy word for non-Jews. All right, so it had Jewish people, Jewish Christians, and also non-Jewish Christians who were members of this church. And the reason, the way it got that way, the church was probably started by Jewish believers, people who came from Israel and moved here. Later on, the Jews were kicked out of Rome by one of their emperors, but by this time, slowly started trickling back in, and then they joined the church. And now here are two different ideologies that you had at work within this church in Rome. You had the Jewish Christians, some of them who had grown up in and around Judaism, all right, in and around the Old Testament, the book of the law, and a lot of them were brought up that way. And when they became followers of Jesus, some of them still held to some of the ideas that they were brought up with. And so for them, in their thinking, they were bringing glory to God by continuing to do their best to adhere to a lot of the Old Testament laws, a lot of the things that they had read about, that they had grown up with. This was how they continued to bring glory to God, by adhering to as many of those laws as they possibly could, yet at the same time bringing glory to God, following Jesus. Then you had the Gentile believers who embraced freedom in Christ, what they viewed to be from that law. Freedom in Christ from the law. That Jesus came and fulfilled the law so that they no longer had to look at the law as a way of living. And so they felt as if they were best bringing glory to God by not observing the law, by not following a lot of those, what they viewed to be strict Old Testament regulations. And so you had these two different groups within the same body of believers who had two different ideas as to what it was to bring glory to God with their lives with regards to following the Scripture. Now, certainly neither group wanted to just throw out the Old Testament and just completely get rid of it. Neither wanted to do that, but they definitely had different views as to how they were to live. These were things like food laws, clothing laws, Sabbath laws. They weren't necessarily what you and I would consider to be salvation level issues, but they were serious and they were causing some divisions within the church at Rome. And so that is the context of the book of Romans, and that brings us to Romans chapter 14. We will be back in Kings next week with Pastor Michael, and so we'll take a little detour here and go to the book of Romans. Romans is in the New Testament, and as soon as I find it, I'll let you know. It's right before 1 Corinthians, in case you're wondering. Yeah, sing the song. Yeah, right after Acts. Roman. There you go. See? It works. All right. And Romans 14 is right after Romans 13. All right, Romans 14 is where we're going to be at this morning. We're going to do the whole thing, okay? So we're going to read through it together, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about some of the ideas and concepts within this passage. So let's get to it. Now, accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. The one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does it for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and of the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you, again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who is in this way serves Christ, is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but as he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he is eating not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for what you've told us. And God, I pray that you would be with us today. Allow our hearts to be open to hear what you have to say. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, first of all, the first thing that I like to point out is that believers are accountable to God. There in verses 1 through 4, Paul says that. Each one is judged by God, and who are you to judge the servant of another? Okay? Opinions are opinions. Opinions are opinions. Not theological cornerstones, or as we said earlier, salvation-level beliefs. Not what does it take for a person to go to heaven. Not are you following Jesus, or are you looking for another way to salvation? Not the Bible is God's word. Not those types of disagreements. But opinions about what God's word says. Opinions are about what God's word says. Here's, here's the issue that we have today that I believe we face. Our opinions have become entangled into our sense of being. We can't have someone disagree with us without immediately feeling attacked. We can't have someone disagree with us anymore without immediately feel like that is an attack on who we are. You know? How dare you say that you don't like Dr. Pepper with cream soda? All right? It's new, by the way, and it's really good. How dare you say that it's not good? By you saying that, you are attacking me as a person. And you obviously have no idea what you're talking about any issue because of your opinion on this issue. And I can't even be around you because of the way you are. Because of my opinion on this, you're gonna sever our friendship because we had a disagreement about something, okay? Whenever we feel attacked, we go on to the attack ourselves, and most of the time, it's not even something that affects us personally. Our beliefs or our opinions sometimes have come to define, the ones that have come to define us are what I would call eternally trivial. There's a phrase that you've probably heard me say before, or maybe others. What does that matter in the grand scheme of things? That's great that you want to fight for this, but in the grand scheme of things, is this really something that you're going to say, this is where I'm choosing to fight my battle right here over this? Like these are opinions. These are opinions. God is the one who's going to judge. Look at the last part of verse 4. To his own master, he stands or falls. You and I are not to judge people. And I know there are other verses out there that talk about examining the lives of other Christians and inspecting the fruit that their lives produce, all right, and being able to say, okay, well, that person's not living for God like they're supposed to. That's a different thing. I'm talking about passing judgment on someone else and saying that you are done with them because of an opinion that they might have on some issue that's in their lives right now. God is going to be the one who judges. It is not my place. To condemn someone. That's not what I'm called to do. That is not what I'm called to do. God will be the one who holds us accountable. The second thing that I would like to ask this morning is, who gets the glory? Who gets the glory for the stands that we take? Who gets the glory for the beliefs that we have, the opinions that we carry? Who gets the glory for that? It talks about that in verses 5 through 8. Paul says, one person regards a day above another, the other person regards all days equally, and each person continues to thank God for those days. If your favorite day of the week is Friday, and you wake up on a Friday morning and you are literally saying, TGIF, thank God it's Friday, all right? You're giving God glory for Friday. You might have another person who says, no, Sunday's the day. That's my day to get out and see my peeps, or at least it used to be. But Sunday's the day we get out and we see our people, okay? Oh, Sunday, that's my day. Whoo! And there may be a rare few people who wake up on a Monday morning and they're like, oh, brand new work week, let's go. Brand new school week, here we go. Thank God it's Monday, all right? Listen, if you're one of those people, God bless you, and I'm not going to judge you, all right, but I am going to say I need to hang out with you for a little bit to learn the way, you know, it works up here, all right? So that's, but they're giving glory to God in any and all of those situations. They're giving glory to God in those situations. The problem is, where we live today and the time that we live in, especially in this social media age, most of the stuff that we talk about, the beliefs that we say that we carry, they're not beliefs that are going to bring glory to God. They're not convictions that we hold so that we can bring God more glory. They are convictions that we hold, they're stances that we take, they're opinions that we carry so that other people will look at us and see us. Oh, and that's hard. That's a really tough place to live. And that's really where we're at right now. And it's not like any of us have this stuff figured out. Now, I was talking about this very idea standing in the kitchen with my wife as I was immediately showing her how many likes I got on one of my Facebook posts. I just finished the conversation. She's like, "What are you doing right now?" "Oh, I was just showing you how funny I am. Look, everybody thinks I'm funny. See?" It's like, "Well, congratulations on all your likes." Like, who is that for? It's for my ego, right? My very fragile ego. All right? It's for me. Too often, that's where we're at. That's what we do. Like, the divisions that we might have in our churches today, in our friend groups, in our families, we don't have these opinions to bring glory to God. We have them so that they will bring glory to us. We can even do good things that we say are in the name of God, but when people see them, they glorify us instead. What you and I need to have is a good biblical knowledge of what God's Word says. We need to have a good godly foundation for the things that we believe in. And we form our beliefs, we form our opinions based on what God's Word says, based on what it is that He tells us in His Word, not the other way around. We don't carry around an opinion about something and then try to take God's Word and cram it into that opinion. Okay? Because that happens too. We get our opinions, we get all worked up about things, and then we immediately start Googling Bible verses to go along with what it is that we already think that we believe, instead of the other way around. And that comes through biblical and spiritual maturity. Basing your worldview on God's Word and looking outward instead of looking outward and then cramming God's Word into your worldview that you already have. It's backwards. And it's difficult to do, but it comes with growing in the faith. Our relationship with God is our most important relationship that we have, and we have to work on it. We have to understand what His Word says about everything, because God's Word speaks about every issue that we are facing in our world today. And if you have a good biblical foundation, you are a disciple, you are following God's Word, then you're already going to know what God's Word says when the next big societal issue or outrage pops up. You're already going to know what God's Word says about that because you've grown in the faith and you have actively learned. It's all in there. But go about it the right way, where you start here and work out instead of working out and then trying to push God's Word into saying something that it doesn't say. Biblical reasoning comes first, then our beliefs and opinions. Not beliefs and opinions, and then biblical understanding. This same idea of not bringing glory to ourselves, Paul talks about it in Galatians 2:20. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me." Paul says, man, I died to all of that. I died to all of that stuff. And then Jesus talks about it in Matthew 5:16. He says, do your good deeds, okay? But let your light shine before men so they may see your good deeds and bring glory to your Father who is in heaven. You might look at me, but you might see God at work. That's how we're supposed to live our lives. It's not for us anymore. Last part of verse 8 says, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We are the Lord's. Paul says he has given up his rights, his opportunity for glory or personal gain, so that others might be saved to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 9:19-23 talks about that. And we don't have time to get there right now, but Paul says this in verse 23, I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. So Paul gives all of this stuff up, even his right to be outraged. He gives it up. He says, it's not me anymore. It's not for me, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. Third thing that we need to do is to be a helper, not a hinderer. Be a helper, not a hinderer. Verses 10 through 19 talk about this idea. And these issues that Paul's talking about, again, are not salvation level issues. They are secondary, third area, fourth area. Those aren't even words, but still, that's what they are. All right? You and I need to live our lives so that others are brought closer to God and not pushed away. Now, there's some things we don't do, okay? There's some things that we don't do. We don't water down the Bible. You don't water down God's word to make it easier for someone to take in their lives. You don't water that down. You still preach the word. You still talk about what God's word says. You also don't agree with ungodly behavior. You don't agree with ungodly behavior coming from a Christian who is maybe trying to justify that behavior with you. You don't excuse it. You don't excuse it, but you do come from a place of love and say, hey, hang on a second. You might need to think about what you're doing here. This isn't right. This isn't the way we're supposed to live. This isn't going to bring us closer to God, the decisions that you're making right now. And you don't excuse sin either. You don't excuse it. You don't brush it under the rug. You don't not deal with it. But in some cases, we as Christians may need to try to do a little bit better job of understanding where a person might be coming from as to how they ended up in the situation that they're in. That might be helpful to you and me. Yes, this person that we're trying to witness to is living in a sinful lifestyle, but we might need to go back. We might need to go even way back to see how they got to where they are before we start ripping into them about being lost. We need to figure out how they got so lost in the first place. We got to be understanding, and that again comes from a level of maturity that we need to have in our faith. We don't need to make it more difficult for a person to see God. Again, this is a fine line, and it's not easy. It's not easy. But look at verse 17, what Paul says here in 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You and I need to pursue these things, even with our beliefs and with our opinions. Righteousness, joy, and peace. Those things are a little difficult to come by these days. Let's help others towards this end. The final point that I'd like to make today, from verse 20. Don't tear down the work of God for the sake of food. Don't tear down the work of God for the sake of Facebook. Don't tear down the work of God so that you can be right about something. Maybe you are. Maybe you're right. Maybe. Don't sacrifice the eternal for the temporary. Don't sacrifice the eternal for the temporary. One of my favorite biblical examples of this is the story of Jacob and Esau. You might remember this in the Old Testament when Esau... Jacob and Esau are twin brothers, by the way. They're twins. I have twins. I know they can fight sometimes, all right? They're twin brothers, right? Jacob's kind of in the house. He's cooking. He's probably like the modern-day equivalent of grilling, all right? He's got some steaks on the grill. Esau comes in from a hunt, all right? So they're both pretty manly at this point, right? So Esau comes in from a hunt. He's like, dude, I'm starving. What are you cooking back there? Jacob's got some stew going or something. He's like, got this chili, bro. And Esau's like, man, give me some. And Jacob's like, all right, tell you what, man, give me your birthright for this for this bowl of chili. Esau's like, my birthright? My place is firstborn. I was firstborn like by 30 seconds. You want me to give up like what I get legally so that you can have it, so that I can have this bowl of chili? Jacob's like, man, chili for your birthright. Esau finally is like, dude, what good is a birthright going to do me if I die of starvation right now? He's like, give it to me. He's like, all right. They shake on it. All right. They do whatever twins did back then, secret handshake, whatever it was. They agree to it. Esau eats it up, and he's done with it. And we know how that story goes. It caused years of turmoil between Jacob and Esau because the dad gave Jacob Esau's birthright, all right? Gave it to him. Jacob's like, bro, you gave it up. Remember when I cooked that chili? It better have been good chili. But he gave up. He gave up something that was going to be eternal for something temporary. Something temporary. There may be some of us right now who are fighting unnecessary battles. Things that in the grand scheme of eternity, things that aren't going to matter that much. And we get so bogged down sometimes that we lose sight of what's truly important, like following Jesus, growing in our faith, and then bringing others along to help them to follow Jesus and grow in their faith too. When others look back on their lives, they're going to see the people that we invested in. They're going to see the legacy of faith that we leave behind. And what I hope they don't see are the small-time squabbles that we got into. At my funeral, I don't ever want someone to say, man, he was a great Facebook arguer. Right? What in the world? Put on your tombstone, he loved Facebook. He sure loved social media. You don't want that. You don't want that to be the thing that people take away. I'm here today because people took the time to invest in me. They were able to see through my bad opinions, bad choices, and they understood that many of those types of things I believed were because I had not yet grown or matured in my faith. I was never written off because of a difference of opinion as a younger person. And I want you to know that I will never write you off because you disagree with me about something. So this morning, as we get ready to close our service, three questions. Do I know Jesus? Am I growing in my faith? And then finally, are there things that I need to let go of? Those are our questions today. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. God, thank you for your word. God, I thank you that we have strong beliefs. God, that we have strong opinions and personalities because, God, we need those in some cases. And God, I ask that you would help us to understand when it's time to stand up for those beliefs. And God, that when it's time to just let some of them go. God, I pray that you'd help us to be united. God, that you would help us to overcome the obstacles in our lives. And God, that you'd help us to do that together. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
From wherever you've been, come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burden.